Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ken Shepherd along with Dana Lee, and the show is called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. The reason we do this show is to help people create jobs, feed families, fund companies, and create legacy. We do it all to give it back and to say thank you to the community for all the things that we've learned over the years. You can connect with us through a very exciting website where there's over 200,000 members that are like-minded real estate thinkers, and that website is kenreradio.com. That's kenreradio.com. Over 200,000 people on that site, all connecting to help each other get deals done. And we've closed deals with people on that site. The email address to reach me is fci@pactel.net. You can also reach out to www.creativeflips.webs.com or www.dealswithkatie.com. We've closed $180 million in deal flow that shows up on the website and have many more things that are not on the website where we've closed deals that are not there for confidentiality reasons. We do have another deal we recently closed for $2 million that we've yet to post. I'm also going to read a short disclaimer, and then we'll go ahead and get started with the show. This show is intended for the listeners only. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips, Inc. in any manner. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of the show or for any of the consequences of any action taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips, Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Now let's talk about the show today. Okay, so first of all, I want to say one other thing. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses, and what we mean by that is if you have something and somebody else needs what you have, then work together. So if you're strong in, say, capital and you're not strong in credit, find somebody who has the credit so that you can work together and create a deal and everybody makes money together. Dana, are you there okay?
I am. Good morning, everyone.
Okay, good. You already posted to our Facebook, right?
I did.
Okay,
I
good.
Sure did.
So it's been a very exciting few days for us. We've been seeing some really, really wonderful things. We just got off the phone with a guy that we're working on trying to put together a package with. And he tied up a package of 22 properties for next to nothing, $20 or something, worth $1,300,000 at full retail. And he's trying to figure out how he can retain ownership of the package. And we're without credit and cash, and we're willing to bring the credit and cash forward, but obviously everything has a value and a pricing as you structure a deal. So one of the areas that we're hearing about a lot, and it came up again yesterday, so we decided to do a show about it today, is creatively financing your deposit. Because when you're in a deal and somebody wants you to put up a deposit, the first thing they're going to ask you for is cash, right?
Because cash is king, right.
Cash is king. They're also going to ask you if they can get away with it to put up that cash in a non-refundable basis, okay? Okay. Now, first of all, we did a show about non-refundable earnest money deposits, and I want to state again that it's very important that you never do a non-refundable earnest money deposit unless you know you have the cash to use to close the deal, because if you don't have the cash to close the deal when you write the deposit check and it's non-refundable and you're scrambling to put it together and it doesn't happen, you could lose your deposit. We had a situation yesterday where a gal put up $5,000, non-refundable, before she met us. We told her yesterday, we're going to do everything we can to meet your timeline, but you're already on your first extension. And if you don't meet your timeline of your first extension, you're going to need a second extension. So we're waiting for her to send the documents in. But she potentially has $5,000 at risk. Had she not met us, she could have potentially lost that $5,000. If I put that together with the other people that I've talked to in the last 3 or 4 months, that put up non-refundable deposits, I could run a small business.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's very, very sad. I mean, it probably adds up to $20,000 to $25,000 in non-refundable deposits that people have put up that they will lose or have lost before they met us. Okay, and I've known of many before that, sometimes $10,000 to $100,000, where they've lost that money in the past. So
let me say, we've heard all of our lives that it takes money to make money, and that while that is true in a lot of ways, it doesn't have to be your money.
That's right.
It can be something of value. It doesn't even have to be money as long as it has a value that someone is willing to take in exchange for what it is that you want. We're not talking bartering, but we're talking about creativity. We're talking about finding out what people actually need to get the deal done, and finding someone who has it, if you don't, to get it to them.
That's exactly right. So it goes further than the idea of a cash deposit. Sometimes you make a cash deposit. If you do, make it as small as possible. Make sure it's contingent and make sure it has as many contingencies as possible and runs as long as possible. Now, I've done deals with no contingencies, and I said, I'll put up $100 and I'm going to close in 5 days with no contingencies. I've done that. Okay. But I knew when I did that I had the funds ready to go. So if I decided to buy it, we had the funds. If I decided not to buy it, I had $100 that I was putting up even though it was $100, it still ran with contingencies all the way through the 5 days. So if I decided to cancel on day five, I'd still get my $100 back. But I knew when I put that $100 up with no contingencies. That's separate from a hard money deposit that's non-refundable, but no contingencies is something you might want to do if you feel strongly enough about the deal. Okay? I'd always leave one contingency no matter what, and that's clear title. Okay? I've made deals where I said, I'll take it with no contingencies except I want clear title. Okay? And I've had people say, well, I can't give you clear title. And I say, well, then I'm not going to take the deal until you get clear title. I've taken properties with building and safety liens on them because I knew that I could pay off the lien because I had the money to fix the property, and I already talked to the building and safety department, and they told me what needed to be done. And we've had the money to do it, so we go ahead and do the deal. But always make sure you have an exit. The idea is you know how to get in, you have to know how to get out. So talk a little bit about creative deposits. One of the things that you can always do, first of all, you can do your deposit contingent. So if you do have cash or somebody else has cash, that cash is at risk as little as possible. Put it in an escrow. Don't give it to the seller. Put it in an escrow or have an attorney hold it in an attorney trust, preferably your attorney, and have it instructed that it would go to the close if you close. If you don't close, you get it back. Okay. Now, the other kind of deposits you can use. First of all, one of the kind of deposits that we've seen people use is promissory notes. How does that work? You have a note that you write, unsecured, that's based upon your promise to pay X number of dollars as either refundable or non-refundable, preferably refundable like we've talked about, and as for small amount as possible, that's payable and exchangeable for cash if you close. Okay? So let's say you have a deal and you're putting up $1,000 promissory note. Okay? That promissory note is going to be between you and the seller. It's going to say that I promise to pay you by a date certain, a certain amount of money. It's like borrowing money without borrowing it because you're putting up a commitment to pay it only if you exercise that commitment. If you don't exercise the commitment, there's never money down and you have a promissory note in place of the money. Okay? That's one that you can use. Another you can use is other property. If somebody has a piece of property that's free and clear, or you have a piece of property that's free and clear, and you're trying to buy another piece of property, instead of putting up cash or a promissory note, you could say, I'll put up this other property in so much of that property. So maybe you put up a mortgage against that property that's used for security for the transaction. I've seen that done many times. Okay? And that doesn't cost you any money. You have to put up a mortgage, but you're not really putting up a mortgage, because if you do it right, you do it contingent. And if you do it contingent, your money's never really at risk. So the mortgage that you're putting up is always returnable to you on what's called a reconveyance if you get to the point of recording that mortgage. If you don't get to the point of recording the mortgage, it doesn't matter anyway. And all you're doing is basically providing somebody with security that you're going to exercise your ability to close if you choose to close and pass your contingency period. What else can you use for collateral? Let's think for a minute. Anybody else thinking out there? So one of the things that you can use for collateral is a business, right? Because a business has a value, right? Somebody says,
right.
Well, I'll put up $1,000 promissory note and I'll secure it with my business. My business has a value of $25,000, so I'm going to give you $1,000 promissory note secured by my business. My business has no liens. That's pretty good collateral. Okay?
Yep.
What other things can you use for collateral?
How about a George Foreman grill signed by George Foreman?
That's, you can use that. You can use that. That has value.
If whatever, someone wants it, yep.
If someone wants it and whatever they'll take for it. I mean, I've done deals.
Value, yep.
Yeah, I mean, we put up all kinds of things. I put up notes on cars that are free and clear. I put on, we did one with a note against an airplane that was free and clear. We did one against a note that was an airplane, but the airplane was worth $10 million, and there was a $10,000 note, and there was $1 million out on the plane. So, you know, you can, whatever somebody has for collateral that they can use instead of cash, we recommend you do that. What else can you use for security on a deal? Anything anybody will accept.
Right.
Right?
Exactly right.
Anything anybody will accept. So if somebody will accept carpet that you have at a carpet warehouse that has value, if they have to liquidate the carpet, then they'll take the carpet.
You once took as collateral, I know this is not collateral, we're not talking about collateral, but it's kind of like that, as a warehouse full of what?
Tennis shoes.
Sneakers.
Yeah, we had a deal where we traded a property. What did we do? Let's see. Yeah, we took in some tennis shoes as part of a purchase or part of a sale. It was a part of a sale. Let me think. We received some tennis shoes as part of a purchase, or part of a sale rather. Okay, they gave us a warehouse full of tennis shoes, and we put a value on it. We had it appraised. We took half of that, and we gave them credit for that in the purchase. Then we had the tennis shoes.
Why did you only take half of it, Ken? Why did you only take half of that?
Because if we have to liquidate the tennis shoes, we wanted to know that we had enough, that we were only giving credit for the amount that we could create for liquidation. So in other words,
fire sale value on it.
Fire sale value. Exactly. In other words, it's called fire sale value, hammer down value. It's like an auction or something. So like if you have something that's retail worth a dollar, you may say, I'll give you a quarter for it as credit. Because I know I can sell it for at least a quarter if I have to immediately at an auction. There's always somebody for almost everything on the planet. Okay, remember that. Whether you're selling, I don't know, fans, or I'm looking around my office, or calendars, or, I don't know, stuffed animals, or whatever it may be, picture frames, there's always somebody to buy it at a price. There's a store that makes...
to get a discount value.
That's right. There's a chain of stores out here called Big Lots where people sell, you know, you can buy something for $3 that normally used to be $30. There's a store out here called the 99 cent store where everything sells for 99 cents or less. And this stuff is like sometimes Del Monte fruit in a can that would cost normally $3, $4 in a regular market, you can buy for 99 cents. There's another store called the Dollar Tree, which is a very successful chain. Nothing is more than a dollar. Everything's a dollar. Okay? Or a portion of a dollar. I think it's all a dollar, but I don't remember. But anyway, the point is that the concept is anybody, whatever they'll take in value, that's what you put up. Now, if you don't have it, find it from somebody else. Say to somebody, look, you have a business. You ever think about putting your business up for collateral so we can do real estate deals together? And they say, well, I never really thought of that. And they say, well, this is how it works. You put up your business. I find the property. We go into the deal. And when I purchase the property, if I purchase the property, then I pay you a portion of the profits, or I pay you a fee for using your business, even though we never used your business, because it's always contingent. Okay, I'd never take somebody's collateral on a non-contingent basis or a non-refundable basis, because you could lose their collateral for them and they could get into trouble, right? So there's two key pieces here: the contingency period, okay, and the creative deposit. Let's stay to the subject of the creative deposit. When you say to somebody, I'm going to give you 10,000 pounds of sod as collateral, okay, and I'm going to put that in a contract, or I'll put that in a memo, that this 10,000 pounds of sod is going to be collateral for my giving you a deposit, right? The 10,000 pounds of sod, what do you think they're worth? You're the seller. You say, well, I don't know, they're worth $10,000. And I say, well, let's have them, let's see what sod cost a pound, right? When you go to buy it at, say, a store like a Home Depot or something, right? So you figure, okay, 10,000 pounds of sod, it costs X number of dollars a pound, right? And you multiply that by 10,000, and then you take a very, very small percentage of that, and you say, this is how much I think I want to approve the collateral for to you as the seller, because I don't want to have it for it's more than that. Because if I give you more than that, I may not work. Like if I say to you, I'll give you 10,000 pounds of sod and there's a dollar a pound, that's $10,000. And I know I can probably sell it for $2,000 tomorrow morning on a phone call to a nursery, let's just say, whereas you give me $5,000 credit for it. What happens if it's only worth $2,000? Then I have to pay you $3,000, right? So I want to make sure that I keep it along the lines of a fire sale value and then much, much less than that if I can. I'll give you guys another example of something that happened, but it's kind of similar but kind of different. I sold a house and we had a bunch of carpet left over. My wife said, why don't you just throw the carpet away? This is before we were married. I said, why don't I make an ad? Why don't I put an ad in the free paper called The Recycler to sell the carpet? Somebody wants to buy the carpet. It looks like nice carpet. It's rolled up, and it's just a color I don't want. So what did I do? I put an ad in the paper. Some guy came over. He was a carpet guy. He used it for remnants, for rentals that he had. It looked really nice. You could just need, like, sections for a bedroom or something. And he bought all the carpet for me and gave me $500. You know, my wife would have thrown it away or given it away. And we picked up $500 that way. Now, that's not the point of a promissory note or some form of substitution of collateral, but it shows you how to be creative and create cash. But more to the point here, where we're really trying to focus on, is how do you put up a deposit without putting up cash, right? And you say to somebody, what will you, you know, maybe you make somebody an offer and you say, I'm going to offer you, I have a warehouse full of tennis shoes, like I did. And I've used those tennis shoes for like 5 different offers before we sold them. And we liquidated them through a liquidator that sells tennis shoes. They gave them cash. They gave us cash because we knew what they were worth, and they actually gave us more than we thought they were worth, but that's fine. The point being is that we were able to use the tennis shoes as collateral because we had an appraisal on the tennis shoes. We took a percentage of the appraisal that was agreed upon between us and the seller, knowing that we were way underneath that, where over that rather, in terms of what we could sell them for over a phone call, and we would use them for collateral over and over and over again. Never had to give a tennis shoe away, but used it as collateral instead of cash. Then when nice. we closed for cash, and we put the tennis shoes back in the warehouse where they never left. By the way, we just did a memo to the escrow that those tennis shoes were pledged as collateral.
Okay, so I assume that the memo had to have something like the address where they were housed and
yep, everything. Where they were,
those tennis shoes.
Yeah, what size they were, you know, the manufacturer, what color they were. I mean, we had a whole schedule of stock, right? And we gave them the stock schedule. We said, this is our collateral, right? And they accepted it because we planned to close for cash anyway. We just didn't want to put up any cash. And we didn't.
Okay, this only works with, like, Rubes and Yahoos, right? This only works at the very lowest levels of business. Isn't that right?
No. It works sometimes with very high levels of business. I mean, when you're doing a deal, let's say you're doing a deal and you're buying a $20 million company, right? And rather than use cash, you do what's called leveraging, right? Which means you may use other assets that are other than cash to post for your collateral as your deposit for that purchase of that business. So let's say you own stock in AT&T, right? And you say, I'm going to put up my AT&T stock. We know what it's valued at per share. It's easy enough to find out in Yahoo Finance in 5 seconds. We're going to multiply by the number of shares I have, and I'm going to pledge a certain amount of those shares to you as collateral for my deposit. And it's always refundable, and it's always contingent, always. Even if it's non-contingent, it's fully refundable up to the close, except for clear title. Okay, so it's designed so that you always have a way out, okay? I should say a little bit differently. We always want a contingency up until the close or as close as we can get to the close, and we always want to use something other than cash for that deposit, or a very, very small amount of cash, like the guy we talked to before we had this radio show today. He just tied up a package of properties for $20. $20.
Wow.
Brilliant. $1,300,000 worth of property for $20.
I hope that we all have the opportunity to interview him sometime after we do a deal.
Yeah.
Because
he's a very creative guy, very bright guy. I think here's the thing that I think happens sometimes. Well, people, like you said in our discussion, Dana, with him, people trip over a dollar to make a nickel, right? They lose the vision of that it's going to cost them a nickel to make a dollar. They'd rather not make that dollar by spending that nickel, so they don't make anything, right? Happens all the time.
It doesn't strike me that that's going to actually happen with this guy. I think the more salient thing that came out of my mouth today was that certain fuels cost more than other fuels. You know, if you want to use a jet, you got to pay the expensive fuel. If you want to use a motorbike, you can get by with a little bit less. You know,
right? That's exactly right. So, you know, and we consider ourselves like the highest quality jet on the market in terms of knowing how to move with speed, and you know, so, but it's very important to understand how to close deals and keep your liability as close to zero as possible.
Right.
You want
to be a good steward of your assets.
You want to be a steward of your assets and a steward of others' assets. Maybe somebody else gave you an asset to use. Like I was talking about, you go to your local guy who's owns a restaurant, let's just say. You eat there all the time. You ask the owner, would you ever consider putting this up as collateral? And I'll show you how it works, and you never really have your restaurant at risk. And because I'm going to structure it in a way that you're going to agree to where it's going to be contingent. And if I don't finish the deal by the end of the contingency period, I won't do the deal, so your restaurant will never be at risk. But we get to use your restaurant for collateral, and I pay you a fee if I end up closing the deal. What do you have to lose?
Well, you'd have to actually, if I were the restaurateur, I would be like, okay, that's something I'm willing to talk to you about. Let me see what the structure would look like.
Exactly.
I would want to make myself certain that I would not lose my restaurant.
That's right. Exactly.
So that's one of the reasons that we practice full transparency.
That's right.
Every person to be fully informed when they make their decisions. That's also another reason we give this education away for free, because we want folks that are trying to break free from the into freedom to have the knowledge they need to make informed decisions.
Right.
That's it.
And, right. And so we recommend that you use anything that you can get somebody to accept for collateral in lieu of cash, or you put up the smallest amount of cash you can possibly get away with. Always have contingencies and always make it refundable. Simple. So if you put up, we'll go back to the example of the restaurant. If you put up a $1,000 note against the guy's restaurant and the restaurant's worth, say, $50,000, and he's got no liabilities on the restaurant, even if he has a $10,000 liability, you still have plenty of equity. You put a $1,000 lien against the restaurant in the escrow. You don't record it, but you have a $1,000 lien in the escrow. As long as you close and you don't miss your contingency deadlines, you never put the restaurant at risk. Now, the guy at the restaurant may say, well, if you're going to use my restaurant, I want to be able to know that I'm going to get something, right? And you say,
right.
Well, what do you, then you get into negotiation. Well, what do you want? Well, I want, if you close the deal, I want X, right? If you don't close the deal, okay, fine, I understand. You've been a customer of mine for 20 years. You come here, you have scrambled eggs every day or whatever. And, you know, so I'm making money with you no matter what, and we have a good business relationship, and this is an extension of that relationship, right? But if you close the deal, then, of course, I want either a fee or I want a percentage of the ownership or whatever you guys negotiate, and that gets back into negotiation. There's no way to answer that other than say that you negotiate that. But it's really important. I can't stress the importance of not using non-refundable, staying away from non-refundable deposits and staying away as much as you can from cash. Use a promissory note. We know a guy who tied up a duplex worth $110,000. Tied it up for $54,000 with a $500 promissory note. And they accepted it. No cash.
Right. Because to be a contract, you just need something of value.
Something of value.
Could be a promissory note for $10.
Exactly. So hopefully this has been helpful. We hope these shows are helpful to everybody. Dana, can you tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. You guys reach out to us, KD@dealswithkd.com or DanaLee209@gmail.com. Text us, 269-849-9510. Or email us to give us your name, your phone number, the best time to call you. Your email address is very helpful. And what it is that we can help you with. Let us know
exactly
where you're stuck, and we can get creative with you.
Right. And we'll do everything we can to help you. But you've got to be proactive. You've got to reach out and start the ball rolling. You know, and we will keep the ball rolling as long as you keep the ball rolling, but you have to start the ball rolling. Okay? So we hope everybody has a wonderful rest of the week. It's been really great having everybody with us. We broke 25,000 listens in our archives over last weekend. Everybody for listening and telling all your friends and neighbors and everybody in your world to listen, because it's all free. It's all shareable. Thanks to Dana. It's all downloadable. And you can do anything you want to help people out, okay, and help yourself too. So with that, we're going to say thanks again for listening. We hope this has been informative. We look forward to speaking with you again next Wednesday and having another topic of hopeful interest to everybody. Okay? Have a great, great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you right away. And, Dan, I'll call you back offline.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Thank you.